Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about eating disorders, and I have a very special guest on. Her name is Roseanne Capania Hodge, and she's a mental health trailblazer. She's founder of the Global Institute of Children's Mental Health, and she has helped thousands of people. She is often featured on Fox, on CBS, on NBC, on Forbes, on Parents, on the New York Times. It is my privilege to have her on today to talk about eating disorders. Thank you so much for being on today, Roseanne.
Well, thanks, Christina. Thanks for that awesome introduction. I'm really glad to be here and talking about eating disorders because our kids' mental health and teens' mental health, you know, everyone's really struggling right now. So the more information we can give to parents, the more they can take action.
And that's exactly why I brought you on. It's so sad that we need to talk about eating disorders, but it is so common and so much more prevalent than I think anybody really wants to admit. And we need to talk about it so that parents can catch these signs early. So that's where I'm going to start with you. How do we catch signs early? What do they look like? What do we do as parents?
Yeah. So great question. And especially in kids under age 12, some of those early signs may overlap with other mental health conditions. So they can be hard to see. So they can show up as food restricting, right? So, today many kids are quote unquote picky eaters, right, Christina? Mm-hmm. So they can have issues with the textural components. They can just not like a lot of things. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons. But when your kid is a restricted eater, regardless of the source, they're a higher risk, right? Having early anxiety, having unreasonable fears, having a single family member, especially in your immediate household with an eating disorder, puts your own child at a much higher risk for an eating disorder. But you know, anytime we're talking about kids in terms of emotional health, we're going to look for behavioral signs. We're going to look for headaches. We're going to look for sleep problems. We're going to look for anything that's a change in their behavior that could be a sign of a mental health problem, not necessarily an eating disorder. But when we look back, and a lot of eating disorders develop in that adolescence window, pre-adolescence when kids are going through puberty. So these are sensitive times. Mental health issues are not apparent to a lot of people because many people who struggle anxiety, depression, eating disorders, they're pretty functional until they're not. And so we're often surprised. Parents are shocked a lot of times that our kids might be binging or purging, food restricting in some way before they really know and are able to get support.
I want you to tell me a little bit more about the difference between the restrictive eating and an eating disorder. When I say eating disorder, the first thing that always comes to my mind, like I'm sure most of the audience, is you got your anorexia, you got your bulimia.
Yes.
But that is only a piece of the pie. So yeah. Tell me more about that difference.
Yeah. So, you know, restrictive eating is anytime a child is not eating, getting enough nutrients, they're actually, I hate to use the word restricting, but they're cutting back or refusing foods based on many things. Sometimes it's emotional and they're actually beginning to get those eating disorder signs, but they can be sensory as well. And there are other groups of disorders where kids are much likely to be restrictive eaters. Kids on the autism spectrum have a high rate of sensory problems and they can be restrictive eaters. Individuals with PANS, PANDAS, or OCD tend to struggle with initially sensory issues, but OCD food concerns. So people can restrict their food based on having obsessive worries about food, as well as fears of throwing up. Surprisingly, that a fear of throwing up can be a really common reason, Christina, where people choose not to eat. So restrictive eating is, there are a variety of reasons where people are restricting their eating, but it may not meet the clinical criteria for eating disorder, and they may not be binging, purging, having anorexia, which is truly an eating disorder. And there's so many reasons why eating disorders develop. I mean, we talked about one family member is in the house, but it can stem from anxiety, depression, trauma. I mean, just a lot of different reasons. It also can spring up because of just wanting to fit in and starting to cut back on food. The next thing you develop is an eating disorder. There are other risk factors, like the controlling parent, is a risk factor for an eating disorder.
Is emotional eating, for whatever reason, whether you're depressed or just sad or need to be happy, and so you're searching for food to get that happiness, would you consider that an eating disorder?
Well, it's like stress and anxiety. Okay. So we have emotional eating and then we have eating disorders. Do people, does everybody who emotional eats have an eating disorder? No. Can you be an emotional eating disorder? Can you be an emotional eater with an eating disorder? Yes. So whenever we talk about clinical things, it has to rise to a certain level. If you're emotional eating every day and you're binge eating, you're probably moving towards, if not already, having an eating disorder. And I know this conversation is coming up because of the pandemic. My girlfriend's an emotional eating disorder, emotional eating expert, and she's never been busier in her whole career than she has right now. So if it's interfering with your functioning, if you're in a pattern, in a cycle where you're emotional, you're binge eating, and then you're shamed, you're upset. And then this is where a lot of binging and purging come in. So certainly if people are binging and purging after emotional eating, that's an eating disorder.
And would you consider a child that's like, I only want to eat white foods, like, or they're just stuck on goldfish consistently all the time, which I know kids do that. They go through these phases of being super picky. Where's that line for a child specifically where it's like, okay, they're being picky and wait a second, they've gone beyond this and I need to get some help.
You know, Christina, great question. So a lot of times this is really what restrictive eating looks like, where kids say, I'm only eating white foods. And there's so many reasons why that happens. But ultimately, a lot of times these kids have food sensitivities. They have sensory processing problems. So food textures are a part of that.
Seen that so much, by the way.
So much.
I do a lot of work in the gifted ed population, and they have super sensitivity, whether it's sensory processing disorder or some other kind of heightened sense, the tags, the clothing, it all bothers them, but the taste, definitely. And it's such a hard thing to get around. And it's like, as a parent, you struggle with that. Like, how, you got to respect the fact that it's really, really difficult for them to eat it because they're very, very sensitive. And then at the same time, you're like, but you need nutrition.
Right. You know, one of the common reasons actually that this develops is not just sensory. It's that these kids actually have a sensitivity and develop an allergy to the foods they crave, and they get caught in this vicious cycle. It is not an impossible thing to break, but it is definitely requires concerted effort, and you cannot eat the same foods, people. You're gonna develop a sensitivity, and your kids are not getting nutrients. You think that they're eating and they're getting nutrients for their brain. They're not. We need a rainbow of food in order to power our brain and bodies.
So what should parents do if they think that their child is a restrictive eater or has an eating disorder?
If you think your child has an eating disorder, you need to go to a professional who's trained in eating disorders. It is a very, what we call, treatment-resistant condition, meaning that it is not an easy issue to deal with. And the sooner you address it, as in any mental health condition, the better your resolution. So if you suspect a problem, there probably is a problem. Don't wait, get help. Nobody ever regrets getting help. They only regret when they don't. If your child is a restrictive eater, the first place I would go to would be a naturopathic, a functional physician, somebody that can help look at maybe there's a zinc deficiency. One of the most common reasons of restricted eaters is a zinc deficiency, and that can just improve their taste buds and start opening them up. And, you know, if your child already has a condition like OCD or autism, speak to a therapist who could help introduce some of these foods. But I think regardless, if you're restrictive eating or have an eating disorder, a functional physician is always really helpful to support their brain and body as they're going through something that's a challenge.
All this information is so wonderful. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on today and giving all of this to us. Because I know there's parents out there struggling with the emotional eating right now with all of the things going on in our busy lives. And then we have our kids that we're worried about too. It's just, there's so much. So you have a wealth of knowledge that I appreciate you coming on. How can my audience get a hold of you if they want to know more or get more of your help?
Yeah. So first of all, I have a book coming out and it's called It's Gonna Be Okay. And it's what I tell every parent who works with me, because as you said, you know, when our kids are struggling, there's nothing harder for a parent, right? I mean, there's nothing else that matters than my family. And when my kids are not happy, nobody's happy, right? And we want our kids to be thriving and resilient. So in my book, It's Going to Be Okay, I literally, you know, it's called How to Reverse Your Child's Mental Health, because I teach people how to use holistic evidence-based approaches to reduce mental health symptoms. And I go through the 8 pillars and I walk people through lots of research, about 40 pages of research, because I want people to know that parents are the CEO of their own health and there's things they can do without medication. And mostly with a lot of tweaks and lifestyle changes. And I want people to really know that there is hope. They should never feel like they're defined by genetics. So you can buy that on Amazon. It's going to be okay. And you can find me everywhere on my website, drroseann.com. And it's drroseann.com. Or on social, Dr. Roseanne, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook's Dr. Roseanne Kafana-Hodge. But I'm really on a mission to change mental health. And there's just lots of things that parents can do. And that's what I share.
Thank you for being on today, Roseanne. You have so much to offer. And parents, let's get help early, whether it's for your child or for yourself. But until next time, you got this. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.